Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Hey, it's Elohim Speaks once again to you on Sunday. It's the first day of the month unfolds on Sunday. Well, how about that? Well, we talk about April Fool's Day, but we're not going to get into that because this is actually the first day of our calendar as far as black people is concerned, but that's a whole nother lecture, so we ain't going to do it here. But what I am going to deal with today, like we always do, the first thing we talk about love. Because you have to realize that without knowing how to love each other, we will not be able to get along. We won't be able to deal with each other in a professional manner. The groups can't get along without love. Households don't get along without love. And it gets a little tricky. Now, I talk about love every week. It's the first thing I talk about because it's the most important thing that I can talk about. When people ask me, they say, well, what do we need to do to get this together, get our families, everything together? You have to learn how to love each other. And you would say, well, I'll be trying to love them. How could you love them if you don't know what love is? See, this culture makes sure that we do not know what love is. Because if we knew what love actually was, oh, boy, we put psychiatrists out of business. We wouldn't need them. If I was saying a lot of things he wouldn't need, a lot of the pills and depression stuff that you're taking, you wouldn't need them if you just knew what love was and knew how to love each other. Okay, let's get to that just for a minute or two. You know, love is the act that makes others feel good. Now, the universal law is set up under reap what you sow. That's how the entire cosmos was formed. Under reap what you sow, because they figure if they set it up as reap what you sow, you would do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, that's tricky. That's a real tricky one, you know, because, hey, some people are crazy, and they treat themselves terrible. So I wouldn't want them to treat me the way they treat themselves. They beat themselves and take all kinds of abuse and pills and every doggone else. They eat crazy, treat me like that? Oh, please don't. Now, sure, he gave you a perfect example. He said, hey, love ye as I have loved you. Because he know people that know how to love each other. He didn't want them to love each other like they would been loving each other. They would be in trouble. For he was given an example of how to love each other through his actions, okay? Love is an action word. Love is the act that makes others feel good. If you're going to commit an act and you know it's not going to make the other person feel good, don't commit the act. You don't need to check and see who's jealous and whether your boyfriend makes your girlfriend, boyfriend jealous of you and all that. That causes pain, okay? You might get satisfied a little bit. Oh, boy, he punched that guy in the mouth because he was jealous, you know. But that causes pain. That causes hurt. You keep that up, your relationship won't be together that long, okay? Love is the act that makes others feel good. If we can't love and get along with each other, how are we going to come together as a group? All the organizations are having trouble, okay? All the organizations are having trouble because we don't know how to love each other. The families are having trouble because we don't know how to love each other. I use the term family loosely. I'd rather use the term tribe. Because family means something totally different. So, but this is why we're not getting along, because of the simple fact that we do not know how to love each other. People ask me all the time, what am I going to do? How are we going to get through to the children? First, learn what love is. Practice loving each other. Then start practicing loving the children the way they're supposed to be loved. Love is an act that makes others feel good. If you're going to commit an act and you're a 16 or 17-year-old, you know it ain't going to make them feel good. Hey, man, don't commit the act. Somebody wrote on one of the web pages, kind of took me out. I kind of liked it. It said, if you live, if you commit feel good acts, you would have a feel good life. That sounds pretty good, you know. But just think about it for a minute, all right? If the act that you're going to commit does not make the other person feel good, don't commit the act. Now, you want to know now what kind of barometer would you have on how to treat a person? You know what the deal is. You know when you first meet somebody and y'all try to hook up, you know, how nice you be. Let me take you out, baby. Let me cook dinner for you, honey, and all this. Yeah, you know, you know what you be going through. Well, trust me, that's the love. They form an emotional attachment to those acts that you commit in the beginning. A year and a half later, you be saying, who in the world is this person? Where did this other person come from? When we first met him, this person was so nice and so good. Now all of a sudden, they act like they God's gift to the world. You see what I'm saying? The way you treat each other in the beginning to give each other affection and love and all that, that's the love. Those are the acts that you need to keep going. Don't change up on a person. 2 years later, they're wondering, man, and they working real hard. They're hanging on, trying to get you to be the person that you used to be, you know? But take it from me. Love is the act that makes others feel good. So when you first meet that person, you're committing all them good acts. You don't want to do nothing to get on their bad side. Keep it going. Don't change. Once they form an emotional attachment to those are the acts that they want you to keep doing and keep repeating, okay? I talk about this every show because it's so important. I feel like Coca-Cola. Every 5 minutes, Coke is a real thing, right? Well, every 5 minutes, love is a real thing if you know what it is and how to use it. Now, you got a lot of guys that know what love is and manipulate it. They get in there and they be giving you all kinds of love. As soon as they hit it, they quit it. You know what I mean? Hey, well, that's reality. What can I tell you, you know? So a lot of times you have to dig a little deeper before you commit yourself to that person because of those acts. You got to learn a little more about the type of character that they have. What type of conscious is in that physical shell? You have to deal with that too. Now, that's important to get into, you know. You can't judge a person by their tribal affiliation. I'm talking about black, brown, red, yellow, and white. You can't judge a person by that, you know. You have to judge them by the contents of the characters. You got to get into that shell, get into that consciousness and see what's going on, you know, before you start committing yourself, especially the young people. It takes a few minutes because hormones and emotions be jumping all over the place, okay? Now that that's it, now there's another thing that I want to say. I'm only going to spend a couple of minutes on this, not that long, because this statement hits people so hard. It's so difficult to wrap your head around this statement, but I have to say it, okay? You were not created. Oh, my God, how can I not have a creator? You were made. Who made you? Your mother and your father made you, okay? But how could they make me? Now, let's deal with that for a second. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. This is the debate I have with the so-called atheists. You know, I don't believe in God. How'd you get here, man? Well, Adam, no, I ain't talking about Adam and Eve and that crew. I'm talking about you. How'd you get here? You came out your mother's womb. Well, that's who made you. That's where you came from. See, if energy cannot be created or destroyed, nobody in the planet or in the cosmos is creating energy. Energy is. Always is, always will be, okay? So when I say you were not created, okay, let's get into that just for a second. I ain't going to spend too much time on it, you know? We, as far back as we can go, thought-wise, thought process-wise, is the uncaused cause. That which caused everything to exist, but nothing caused it to exist. And we use the term cause because at that particular point in motion, well, that's what time is. Time is a measurement of motion. It's not really a thing that they talk about, but it's a measurement of motion. At that particular time in motion, the only energy that was here was source energy. So everything in the cosmos is made up out of that energy. No new energy was created. That energy of source is what everything in cosmos is made up of. That's what you're made of. You are an extension of source. You are the universe expanding itself, okay? You weren't created. Nobody created you. You are part of all of this. You're connected to everything in the cosmos. I say, oh, boy, what is this guy talking about? You are connected to everything because of the energy that you are made out of. You're made out of source energy. That's what you're made out of, okay? I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I just want you to think about that for a minute. You were not created. Okay, well, I know I said a couple of minutes, but maybe just two more minutes, okay? Why is it so important for you to have the thought process from the 1% that you were created? Let's think about that for a second. Every religion on the planet has the same underlying thought process. You were created. Why? Because it puts you in a subservient thought process. That's what they want. They want you to think that you're less than and not equal to something. Once they get you going that way, thinking like that, guess what they do? They give you that something that you're not equal to or not, that you're not equal to and less than. Think about it. Every religion got some kind of deity for you to bow down to and worship, right? If there's only one God, why does every religion you go into have a different God? Hebrews got a God. Christians got a God. The Muslims got a God. The agnostics, they got a God. Okay? The Hindus got a God. Oh, I mean, you can go down the list. All of them got some kind of God or some kind of deity for you to worship because they don't want you to realize who you are. They don't want you to realize that you're an unlimited conscious entity that's capable of anything, capable of soaring to heights that's beyond your wildest dreams. Do you think it's a coincidence that we invent something yesterday and tomorrow we have something better and we keep going and going and going like the energy out of the body? There's no stopping to you because you're unlimited because of who you actually are, okay? When I was born, I'm going to tell my age a little bit. When I was born, right, there was no TV. We used to listen to Joe Louis on the radio. There was no television. Okay? When my nephew was born, there was no internet. And we're growing and going and going. There's no stop to this thing. All that Star Trek stuff you see out there that they talk about futuristic, the future's here. That stuff is happening right now. Flip phones, phones on your wrist. You are an unlimited conscious energy connected to the entire cosmos, okay? That's who you actually are. You're not tied to this little speck that they call Earth. You're not tied to any of this land little speck. The whole cosmos is yours. And they people say, well, why am I here? You're supposed to be out there checking your real estate. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be out there monitoring your real estate. Your real estate is all over the place, but here you are stuck. And not only are you limiting yourself to just this planet, you're limiting yourself to a continent, then a state, then a city, then a county. I mean, boy, you're shrinking more and more and more to the value of who you are. I'm just saying it's a thought process, okay? They've been giving us thought process so they can manipulate and control. You can't control somebody that know they God, okay? Because they begin to see things from a different point of view, okay? Now, they got you thinking that God is somebody up there sitting on a chair, right, looking down on you, saying, I'm trying to hoop over you and protect you. That's thought process. And they got you thinking somebody down there in the middle of the earth, sitting on a hot rock, sipping tea, waiting for you to come down so they can torture you for the rest of your well, I can't say entire life because supposed to be already dead, for the rest of the duration of your existence. Okay, think about what they think. Just think about these things for a minute. Okay, there's nobody down there sitting on a hot rock waiting for you. Okay, this physical realm okay? Oh, wow. I'm sort of getting off topic here because I've got a script I'm supposed to be following, but when I get into this part gets me a little fired up because of the psychological ramifications of what this means to every individual on the planet and why they're able to manipulate you so easily because you don't know who you are, okay? Now, let's go back to the topic. Today, I know I usually talk for half an hour before I open up the mics, but the mics are open. I can open up the mics right now. We're going to open up the mics from now to the end of the show. All you got to do is push one, and I'll let you in, okay? Right now, I want to thank everybody that's calling in. I appreciate you calling in. Let me know that I'm not here by myself. Thank you. Okay. Now, let's get back to the topic. Why or how has the Democratic Republic helped the poor? It hasn't. It's not supposed to. The 1% has designed the Democratic Republic to do what it's supposed to do. Okay. I'm saying Republic because the Democratic Party, well, in this country, the Democratic Party is an illusion. The Electoral Congress, the Electoral College actually puts the president in office, okay? You got some parts of the enclave that can't even vote for the president. That's taxation without representation. When it happens to them, they say it's tyranny. But they turn around and do it to you. Think about this thing. They're committing tyranny on people on the planet. Okay, but they're ready to fight when it comes to them. All right, now, why is having poor people a benefit for the government and the 1%? Think about this for a minute. The entire government runs off goods and services. All right, now if they have goods for you to buy, and you're not buying the goods, but you're saving the money, they have a problem. They can't hire the workers that they want to hire. They can't pay their electric bills and all that stuff if you're not buying the goods and service. Poor people, right, have to spend every dime they take in. They can't save no money. All the money they give the poor people off the working poor and the jobs and welfare and all that, all the money they give them, they want all that money back through goods and services so that the so-called middle class can earn a certain profit so that they can buy goods and service to support the 1%. All right? And you're not buying no Lamborghinis. Think about it for a second. All right? You're not buying no $3 million houses. No. Who's doing that? The people that are entertaining, okay, the people that are entertaining the upper middle class, it's the upper middle class, but they ain't no real upper middle class. How does that work? It costs $100 sometimes to get a seat in a basketball game. How many poor people got $100 every week to go pay to see the Eagles on one of those teams? You don't have it. But those people that are making $70,000 a year, they can do that, all right? Now they pay the people that are entertaining you millions of dollars. Now they can buy those high-end boats, high-end clothes, high-end, and that literally supports the 1%, okay? It's a class system, the way they got the whole thing set up and the way everything works. It works. I mean, it works great for the 1%. This system is not designed to help the poor, okay? It's not designed to help the poor. And the illegal money, we're talking about illegal drugs, all right? Illegal drugs is designed to affect the poverty-stricken. Now, let's think about that for a second, because poverty is a destruction of the poor. So they need poverty, they need the poverty-stricken people, they need poor people to get on drugs so that they can become poverty-stricken, right? Once they become poverty-stricken, then there's a whole nother self-help mindset that they're using. I'm talking about the drug. Now, I'm not talking about illegal drugs. Now we're getting into legal drugs. Now they have a way of paying themselves so that the poverty-stricken people can get their hands on the legal drugs. That's where the money's at. You think the little heroin and cocaine, you think that's where the drug money is? Oh, no. If you go to some of these, Rite Aid, CVS, most places, that's where the real drug money is, okay? Just like opium. Opium wasn't selling. So what did they do? They turned it into a pill and call it opioid and start giving it to the legalize it and start giving it to the people. But the same people that are controlling the illegal drugs, no, the same people that are controlling the legal drugs are controlling the illegal drugs. All right, now just a little tip for a second. The illegal drugs are being controlled by the three nation states. Now, I don't know how many of you are into your status and government and clearing and trying to be born again to the straw man and all that. But the three nation state is Britain, Pope, Vatican, and the United States, Washington, D.C. Those three nation states, okay, control the drug market. I don't get too much into that because that's not the topic of the day. But if you remember, when China didn't want opium in the country and was burning opium up, Britain sent the gunboats in there and took over the ports. That's how they got control over Hong Kong. Well, you got to do your research and tell you what's happening with all the drugs. Manuel Ortega and all those guys, Oliver North, all that's part of the international or global drug trade that they have going on, okay? What they did in Afghanistan, with the poppy fields, all that, Vietnam, all that, you know what I mean? All that was part of the global drug trade. There's a lot of money in drugs, see what I'm saying? And 1% know one thing above all else. What status really counts, okay? Now, let's talk about that for a second, okay? When does status matter and when does status do not matter? Okay, let's think about that for a second. You can go down, you know, become a law being, get everything set up, and you're ready to go. You can come down, register up with the Indians as one of the tribes, because most of us are descendants of the Indians anyway. I'm talking about the so-called Indians, the indigenous people here. A lot of us are descendants of them anyway. If you check your history, you'll find out that you're from one of those tribes. You can go down and register yourself with one of the tribes, okay? Your status matters when they're comfortable that you're not a threat, and you can go to court and they'll play around with you, spend a little money on the lawyers and stuff. They don't have a problem with that. But when you become a threat, they don't care about your status, okay? The only status that they care about when you become a threat is your military status. You ain't got a military, man, these people don't care 2 cents about you if you ain't got a military status. They'll let you do whatever you want as long as you're not a threat to that 1% way of life. But the minute you become a threat to that 1% way of life, they send the military in after you. What you going to do? You sitting in your house, SWAT team knock on the door. Who you going to call? Analysts calling the Ghostbusters. They can't help you. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody can help you if you ain't got no military. Did Saddam Hussein know what his status was? Yes, he did. Did the Mexicans know what their status was when they took California and Texas? Yes, they did. Did the did Manuel Noriega, did he know his status was when they jumped on him in Panama? Yes, he did. You follow what I'm saying? Did the Haitians and the Toussaint Louverture, did he know his status when Napoleon came in and tried to take his stuff? Yes, he did. You follow what I'm saying? They don't care about your international or your nation status when they want what you have, all right? They don't even care if you committed a crime. If you propose a threat to them, they will lock you up. Check out what's going on with my man. They ain't done nothing. The Pampers, they ain't done nothing. You follow what I'm saying? But just try to get some rights under the system. They jumped in, faked some charges on them, locked them up, and they never let them out of jail. See what I'm saying? What are they going to do? You ain't got no military to back you up. If you ain't got no military to back you, think Kim Jong-un will still be there if he didn't have no military? He'd be gone, just like Manuel Noriega. He'd be gone. See what I'm saying? Status matters when the system, when the 1% are comfortable with you and you're not a threat. It's good to have your status correct. You can go in a courtroom, get out, win a few cases, do what you have to do, that's fine. But if they're uncomfortable with you, if you're gaining notoriety, going against them, challenging their way of life through slavery, manipulation, and all that, that's what this way of life is all about. Slavery, manipulation, theft, thugs, robbing, murder, that's who you're dealing with, okay? Think about it for a second. When they came here and the indigenous people were here, they didn't hold up not one picket sign. They didn't do not one march. They sent the military in and took what they wanted. That's what they did, okay? That's how they roll. They're thieves, criminals, thugs. That's how they roll. And they're not going to just walk up and give it back to you, okay? You got to fight for it, all right? You have to fight for it. There's different ways to fight to limit the carnage, like what Gandhi did, okay, to limit the carnage. But he got a break because after the Second World War, Britain wasn't strong enough to hold on to it. He got a break because of Hitler. See what I'm saying? Hitler attacking, trying to knock everybody off. You think Hitler was worried about what Britain's status was when he was dropping bombs on them? Or when he went to take France, you think he was worried about their status? He cared about your status. He went in to take what he wanted because the only thing they were concerned about was your military status. And if you're in a situation and you're building and you're thinking about doing something that's going to pose a threat to the 1%, you better check your military. If you ain't got no military, you just need to calm down, go with the flow, and do an Oprah thing on them and just go ahead and get paid. You see what I'm saying? I'm just giving you a dose of reality here and who you're dealing with. You're dealing with criminals, thugs, robbers, murderers, killers. That's who they are. That's who you're dealing with, you know? And they got the smooth talk and let you think they, oh, we got your best interest in heart. And the minute you turn your back, what that song you say, smile in your face, but all the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers, hey, that's what I'm talking about, you know? I'm just giving you a dose of reality. This is a thought process. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. Now, remember, the mics are open. All you got to do is hit one. Hit one if you got a comment or something to say. You know, other than that, I'm going to keep going down my little thing that I got to do here, okay? Now, what I like to do, what I'm going to try to do every month, all right, because, you know, I'm a Bible thumper, what can I tell you? Every month, right, I'm going to go through one, every week, I'm going to go through one passage in the Bible, right, and then I'm going to read it, then I'm going to explain it to you, and then you'll be able to, so you can understand why. When they read the book, they took the book and conquered the planet. And when you read the book, you're taking the throw it in the trash. What are they reading in this Bible that you're not getting? What are the 1% seeing in this book that you don't get, you know? And how come you can't see what they see in order to get what they're getting out of the book? All right. Well, before we go into that particular passage, right? I don't know where it is. Before we go into that particular passage, right? I want to make a comment. I want to make a statement. This is a fact. One aeronautical engineer got 64 aeronautical patents out of the book of Ezekiel. These guys looking at Ezekiel's and building flying machines and planes and everything else. What are you seeing when you read the book of Ezekiel? You can go and Google this. You can Google this up. You can check this out, okay? He got 64 aeronautical patents out of the book of Ezekiel. The whole judicial system is set up based on the teachings of Jesus, okay? Hey, what are they reading that you're not? What are they reading in this book that you can't see? I'm going to read this passage, right? This is Matthew 19:14, King James Version. It says, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I'll read it again for you. Now, check this out. It says, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." I read that to one of my children today, and they said, they look, start scratching their head. They don't have a clue. you don't have a clue either if you don't know how to read the book, okay? Now, let me give you a little interpretation of the book, okay? In an unjust society, if the children try to do the right thing, they're made to suffer. See what I'm saying? That's the only time children are actually made to suffer, when they try to do the right thing. And children are born with an innate ability to do the right thing, okay? But they become persecutors, all right? They're made to suffer, first by their peers or other children who are unjust and don't know what love is. You know, when you go to school, you get bullied and children be talking about each other. They got cyberbullying right now on the Internet. See what I'm saying? The children who are trying to do right are being bullied because we're living in an unjust society. See what I'm saying? When Jesus said, suffer for them to come unto me, right? And what did he mean by that? You follow what I'm saying? To come unto him. Let's go a little further. It says, second, you're being persecuted by the side itself. To be in a calm state and not depressed, you must enter the kingdom of heaven. Where's the kingdom of heaven? Yahshua, who you call Jesus, he said the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's when Peter asked him under the bridge, when James stole his coat. He said, where's the kingdom of heaven? He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's when he asked him, who do you think I am, Peter? See what I'm saying? If the kingdom of heaven is within you, and he telling the children to come unto me, he is in heaven along with his Father. That means all the spiritual power is within you, okay? And you say, whoa, Brother Elohim, how do you get all that out that passage? I know how to read the book. You know what I'm saying? I've learned how to read the book. And you can learn how to read the book too, but you have to go into yourself. That's what I like about Dr. Sabian. He didn't read none of their medical books. He said if he read their medical books, he had the same conclusion they came to. He went inside himself to find cures for AIDS, cures for sickle cell anemia, cures for brain tumor. He went inside himself. That's where your power is at. That's where the information is at. The information is within you. But you have to know how to go in and get it. You need to teach your children how to meditate. What's a good age? 3, 4 years old? You know what I mean? Start them early to meditate, to look inside their self. Teach them how to read outside the box. Well, how do you teach a child how to read outside the books? How to read outside the box. It seems like a very difficult thing to do. Check this out. When the child goes to school, everything that they give you is designed to benefit the 1%, everything. So when your child goes to school, they give the child a coloring book. Oh, don't color outside the lines. Stay inside the lines, you know what I mean? Be a good girl. Be a good boy. Just stay inside the line. When you go outside the line, oh, you're messing up, okay? Give your child a coloring book. After the child colors the book, tell your child to go outside the lines and make up something good for the picture that's inside the lines. This teaches your child how to think outside the box. Now the child got to use their mind. They got to use their brain to come up with something different, something new. They got to use their own imagination to think of something that fits, that's not, think of something that go with what's inside the box. Now they get to thinking, there's the inside of the lines that they're supposed to do, and there's the outside of the line that they're supposed to do. Now your child can get used to thinking outside the box. Everything that they give your child is important and designed to deal with the 1%. Stop here for a second. I want to thank everybody that's on the line for calling. I appreciate you calling in. Remember that the mics are open. Well, they're not open, but you press 1, I will open them up, okay? I ain't going to make you wait. As soon as you press it, I'm coming at you. So have your question thought process ready, whatever you're trying to do, okay? Now, let's go on here. Let's keep this thing going. Okay. Heaven is not without, but within. In order to come into Jesus, which is in heaven, with the Father, A crooked society will make you suffer to get there, okay? Why? If all the children are calm and not in a depressed state, who's going to fight the wars for them? What child will have the mindset to go out and pick up a gun and kill another human being? This is a learned behavior. Children don't pop out mama saying, oh, man, give me the gun, although they try to convince you that on television they got one little baby, right? And this little baby, this, I laugh at this all the time. In his mind, he's thinking of ways to kill his mother. And his little baby running around with diapers on, trying to think of ways to kill his mother. I forget the name of the program. I think it's a Family Guy, one of those programs, you know? And then a little baby's a homosexual. All that, they got all that going on in there. You know what I'm saying? And this little baby is trying to kill mama. Now, what child at that age is thinking in terms of how can I kill my mama? They're putting those thought processes in the children that are watching the programs. Okay, because they need to separate the child from the parent. If they can separate the child from the parent, then that means they can feed the child information and make the parent submit to the child. The parent's buying the child what the child think the child wants, not what the parent think what the child needs. You know what I mean? There's a reason that they do that. All right, just like when they make up the cartoons. They make up the cartoons to seduce the children into getting the parents to buy what they want. You think the child, when the child gets Crow out of cornflakes, that the child or Tony the Tiger, you think the child knows about the nutrition and all that? No, he liked that Tony the Tiger. Okay, everything that the 1% is designing. It's designed to promote a particular agenda, okay? Now, we're going to go back to the top again because I want to go back over this just one more time, so bear with me on this, okay? Everything is designed to promote a particular agenda. If you knew, okay, who you were or who you are, then you know that you have nothing anywhere in the cosmos, anywhere on the planet, nowhere in the world, that's greater than you are. That's the first realization that you come to when you know who you are. And then you begin to realize that anything that I decide to do, that I have the conscious reality, the conscious power to get up and make it happen. You can do whatever you want once you know who you are. See what I'm saying? If you don't know who you are, what are you doing? You're constantly praying for somebody to come and help you do it, okay? But listen to me. Listen carefully. This is very important. I'm telling you, this is very important. Your help is already with you. You're carrying power, okay? This is how the universe was set up, okay? Every time you read in the Bible where it says create, they're talking about systems that were created. Because the only thing that God can create is systems. You can't create energy. Because energy already is. It already was. And it always will be here. But you can manipulate energy for your own purpose. Okay? That's making things, not creating things. Okay? You can cut a tree down and make a chair. Okay, you didn't create the chair. You made the chair out of something that was already in existence. They already tell you when you're young in school, you can't create something from nothing. Something had to be here to bring all of this into existence. That's what we call the uncaused cause or source energy. Jesus called it the Father. Well, that's part of the translation, too. That's a translation error. That's a whole other topic. Muhammad called it the All or Allah, okay? They call it by different names. But if you read their texts, I don't care whether it's Hare Krishna or any of them, read any ones that have reached their divine mind, okay, and bringing a message to the people, all of them brought a message of love. all of them brought a message of getting together, being with one another, and peace and reciprocity. That's what they were talking about. All of them. I don't care which one you read, if they were in the divine mind. That's what they're talking about. You have a lot of people in your lifetime that has been in the divine mind. You know, you think Martin Luther King wasn't in the divine mind? Come on. Okay? Anybody that unifies, you think Gandhi wasn't in the divine mind? You know, anybody that's unifying the God, the great God, is in the divine mind, because you have to know that the great God exists in order to try to unify the great God. What do I mean by the great God? Psalm 82. We are all God's children of the Most High. Okay, so who are you talking about? The Most High God? No, it didn't say Most High God. It said Most High. Okay, because the Most High ain't God. Okay, and the Most High is the energy that brought God into existence. You know what I'm saying? But then they say, oh, we're talking about the big G and the little G. Hey, more tricks. Because in Hebrew, there was no upper and lowercase letters. Well, you know, big G, little G. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying they go through great lengths to make sure that you're not going inside yourself to bring what you want into existence. Because they know you can. Once you start doing that, then you become equal with the queen. Then you become equal with the pope. Then you become equal with those who are running government. See what I'm saying? Because you can bring what you want into existence. This system don't work for you? Well, create another one. That's what you can do. You have that kind of brain power. You can create a whole new system and bring it into existence. If you know you can. But you don't know you can. Because who are you? Oh, I'm an African. Oh, that little landmass defines who you are. Oh, I'm an American. Oh, this continent defines who you are. Oh, I'm Haitian. Oh, I'm French. I'm German. You think that little speck of land defines who you are when you are constantly rising to heights never before seen in history? Well, I can't say never before seen, because we're still babies compared to some of the stuff that our ancestors have done. You know, once you research it, I have to stop myself for a minute. But we're moving at such an alarming rate. How can you not know? How can you not recognize who you are? And when those children are growing, when those children are developing, don't slow that baby down. You're slowing that baby down. Well, she's too young for that. If she's old enough to ask you about it, tell her the truth. My daughter one day, I think she's about 4 years old, 5 years old. No, she's a little older than that. She asked me, she said, Daddy, where do babies come from? I popped the tape in. You ask, right? I tell my children, hey, don't ask me if you really don't want to know. I popped the tape in. And we saw that baby pop out. She jumped up and ran. You know what I mean? What's she doing now? She wants to be a gynecologist. She's in medical school. You understand what I'm saying? Don't slow your children down. If they ask you, don't be talking about some stork and silly stuff like that there. Tell them if they ask you, whatever they ask you. If they're old enough to ask you the question, they're old enough for the answer. They're old enough for the truth. You know what I'm saying? I wish somebody had told me the truth rather than this guy about electricity. You know what I mean? About how the Egyptians had electricity thousands of years ago rather than some nonsensical story about a guy flying a kite up there in the rain. You know what I mean? Flying a kite in the rain. You know what I mean? With a key attached to a piece of metal, and he discovered electricity, or some nonsensical stuff about a guy sitting up under a tree and an apple hit him in the head, and now he knows all about gravity all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? When you had guys thousands of years before this guy was born, was moving bricks, moving boulders as big as a house or a semi truck. You follow what I'm saying? You don't think they knew about gravity? Or telling me that this guy, Johnny Come Lately, is the father of medicine when Inhotep, right, set up the papyrus and all this kind of stuff. You know, you have to get your children the right information if their thought process is going to be that of what they call genius. Because every child born is a genius. And if you run them through the school system just the way they want you to, they will dumb your child down. That child, you look in their children's eyes when they're 3 or 4 years old, you see that little bright light, that little light that's in there? Oh, man, they're ready for the world. After they get to about 6th, 7th grade, that light's gone. That light, most of the children, not all of them, but that light's gone. You don't see that twinkle in their eye. They want to learn so much about everything, you know? And then after a while, they go, oh, man, I don't need to know about all that. You know what I mean? Just show me, tell me where the money is. They don't want to know. They don't feel as though they have a need to know, okay? Once again, I'd like to thank everybody who's on the line for calling in. Thank you very much, okay? And I also like to tell you that that if you want to talk or if you have a comment, if you want to say anything, you just hit one, and you can jump in whenever you get ready, okay? Now, there's one other passage, okay, in the good book. And it's, oh, Lord, going back to the Bible again. Yeah, there's one other passage in the good book, okay, that I'd like to get into, all right? So that, because just to give you an idea of how misinformed I can't say that they're misinformed, but the preachers aren't telling you certain things. I can't say they don't know because I don't know what they know and what they don't know. Most of them I haven't talked to. I only listen to some of their sermons, and trust me, I listen to all these sermons from Cassie White, T.J. Jakes. I listen to all of them, you know, just to see where they're coming from because some of them are in their divine mind, especially Careful Dollar. Careful Dollar's in his divine mind, you see what I'm saying? But he's using it to live a certain lifestyle. And I can't be mad at a person because they want to live a certain way. You know, they're not robbing nobody or taking nothing from anybody, but the people are giving them the money, so I can't be mad at that, you know? I can't be mad at the queen because she wants to live in a castle. You know, I don't like her living in a castle and turning me into a slave, but I can change that, you know what I'm saying? But she can live the way she wants to live. As long as she don't try to make me a slave no more, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with anybody want to live the way they want to live, you know what I'm saying? But I think I lost my train of thought here. But we have to be mindful, all right, of where we're going, what we're trying to do, who we are, and what's going on. Because until you recognize who you are, you know what I mean? I mean really who you are, all right, you're not going to be able to accomplish the goals that you've set out to. And it's no coincidence that somebody's making millions of dollars and you can't pay your rent. It's not a coincidence. Everything depends on the thought process. See, if you know, right, that you're connected to everything and that you're carrying power and that once you put your thought process out, all right, that thought process is going to resonate through the entire cosmos and through action and reaction. If you stay true to your purpose and where you're going, when you get to a certain point, what you need will be prepared for you when you get there to get you to your end game. But you need to first deal with your end game. For those of you who are young, by the time you get 50, what do you want to be? What do you want to have by then? You know what I'm saying? That's your end game. For those of you who are not young, by the time you get 80, you know, what do you want to be? What do you want to be doing by the time you get there? That's your end game. For those of you who are older than that, well, by the time you get to be 90 and 100, what do you want to have accomplished? What do you want to have done for your children and grandchildren? See, that's your end game. Go back to the beginning. Plan your first steps and work towards your end game and don't deviate, okay? You living in Philadelphia, dealing with your thought process that you want this to happen and that all in Philadelphia, right? And then before it can happen, you're over there in Jersey. You're over there in Jersey catching hell and don't know why. All your so-called blessings, I'm saying blessings because you have asked for this stuff. And if you ask for it, you're definitely going to get it. Because mama used to tell you all the time, be careful what you ask for, son. You just might get it. But if you ask for it in Philadelphia and you over here in Jersey or in Texas can't figure out why nothing's coming to you, it takes a little while for the action and reaction to take place to bring you what you need. So you have to be a little patient when you ask for stuff because a lot of things have to happen because you have committed a lot of acts in between that those reactions have to come back on you to deal with that before this good thing that you were talking about come at you, okay? That's why they say for a reaction, it's an equal and opposite reaction, okay? Because you commit one act, and you're getting a good action from that, but you had a bad act, you did something else that was bad, and that's coming back as a two, and so you're bouncing back and forth with equal actions and opposite actions to what you're equal to. I guess that makes sense. I'm starting to talk a little fast here, but we're almost out of time, so we only got about 10 more minutes left. But this is what you have to do. Now, like I said, I'm going to go back to the I went off track here just for a little bit. I'm going to go back to the Bible again, right? Okay, I just want to give one more passage out of the Bible because we have a lot of people talking about status, how to change their status, and how to become a live being, how to get more reaction from the court when they deal with the court system, okay? So I'm going back to the Bible. When Jesus said, told the guy sitting on the side of the road, you have to be born again into the kingdom of heaven, you know? God said, how can I go back in my mother's womb for the second time? Well, I'm going to start back then, right? Then I'm going to bring it up to date, okay? Back then, if you were conquered by another country, just like the Hebrews were conquered by the Romans, okay? If you're conquered, then you become a second-class citizen. That first citizen is dead, right? In order to reclaim that first citizen back then, you had to get your armies together and go back and take back what they took from you and become a first-class citizen again. That's back then. Now, the conqueror realized that he didn't want people to figure that out. So I said, well, wait a minute. We got to trick this monarch because everything is about your thought process, all right? So what they've done, right, when you're born into this culture, you have 30 days to proclaim the child or to claim the child. After 30 days, the child is considered abandoned, and the state takes over control of the child with the birth certificate. That's what they call the straw man, all right? So the state now has your child as in control of your child. Why? Because you didn't know that you only had 30 days to claim your child. Okay? So now as you get older and you begin to study through some of our brothers and sisters that want to reclaim their status, then you realize that you have to go and be born again. You have to become a live being. So once you become a live being, the straw man dies. You have to kill that straw man or take control of the straw man. That's another thing to do, you know. You can use the straw man and be a live being. I'll do both. So I'm just going to tell you, I have two IDs, all right? When I go out as a free man, I take a certain ID with me. I leave my straw man ID at home. And when I go out as a straw person, I leave my other ID home, and I only take my straw man ID. Okay, so I'm just saying there's lots of options, all right? But when Yahshua was telling the man you have to be born again, that's what the Bible was talking about, okay? You have to reclaim your status as a first-class citizen. Well, the term citizen is overrated as well, but I like the way Will Adams said. You have to become a live being, okay, instead of being a dead person and a straw man, is acting in your stead, all right? So you have to become a live being, all right? So, excuse me. So that's what you need to do. That's what Yahshua was talking about. Now, when you go to church and they say you have to be born again, do they talk about this? Do they tell you how to change your status, how to become a live being again and deal with the straw man? No, they don't. Do they tell you what kind of affidavit you have to fill out to get into that particular position? No, they don't. You follow what I'm saying? I can't say all of them because I haven't talked to all of them. I only listen to all of them. But they give you some kind of nonsense about, in fact, it's so nonsensical, I'm not even sure I remember what they mean when they say you got to be born again. It just sounds, and I ask them, what do you mean? You know, well, you got to be born again in the kingdom of God. Well, what do you mean by that? They really can't explain it. You know, it's some kind of double talk to get you to become, or to get you to join their group or their religion. You follow what I'm saying? But that's not what Yahshua meant. That's why when the 1% read the book, you follow what I'm saying? They're saying, since we were conquered, right, in order to become first class again, we have to knock off the conqueror, all right? It took Britain, Now, listen carefully. It took Britain 800 years to get out from under black rule. I use the term black loosely, but to get out from under black rule. It took them 800 years. And you've been conquered for only, 250 to 300 years. Okay, you've been under this person's thumb. All right? be patient. Get into your long game. What is your long game? Oh, boy, I'm glad I asked. Your long game is what's missing from all of the so-called black and poor white organizations here in this country. It's your long game. What is your long game? Your long game is the children. How can the children be the long game? Because the children are the ones that you're supposed to be preparing to run the village. Where are the villages at? Ain't no villages set up here. You can't call your aunt, your second aunt, and third aunt, and marriage fourth, fifth down the road, and cousins and all of them. You got at least 1,200 people just under your diaspora. If you check, it's that many people just under your diaspora. That's a marketing group. If you got something to sell and you got 1,300 to 1,400 people right away willing to support you, okay, that's a good way. That's a business being started. All right? This is what I'm saying. That's what the village is for. You know, I'm going back to the Bible again. See, this guy, he really is a Bible thumper. Oh, we only got about 4 minutes here. I'll make this quick. The story of Abraham, right? We talk about Abraham, but think about this for a second. This is what you don't think about when you don't have the right thought process. Abraham started with his wife and his nephew. Sojourned for generations. Abraham's nephew got kidnapped by another group, right? He took an army to rescue his nephew. Where in the world did he get an army from? Think about it. The army came from the village. He created a village. And with his village, he gained power. The power comes from the families. I use the term family loosely. You know, I know those who be studying these words. But the family is where the power is. And you can go to any organization. I take my word for it. Go to any organization, check to see how strong those families are. They're not, those families are weak. The families are strong. The families are not strong because they're using the organization as the family. And they feel as though if the family get weak, they would take them away from the organization because they want the organization to be the end-all, be-all, or the church to be the end-all, be-all. But without the villages, we will never be able to compete with the Rothschilds, the DuPonts, the Gettys. It's no coincidence that when Obama did his research on his lineage, that he was connected to all that power up there. It's a family-run operation globally. If you go back to the Second World War, it was the families that was running government, okay? It was running Germany and Britain and Holland. It was families, okay? The village. That's what's missing in our organization. We have to begin to set the. I talked too much, but I got 90 seconds left. We have to begin to put the villages back together. Can I start? When can I start? Right now. Start reaching out to your cousins and your nephews and your aunts and your uncles. Go to their holidays, whether it's Christmas or Easter or Halloween or whatever. The holidays are the time that you need to put your families or your tribes together. That's the key to this whole thing. I figured it out. That's the key to this whole thing. Okay? Now, we got 60 seconds left. So, somebody chimed in with 60 seconds. So, let me bring them in. What we got here? We got 1927. Your mic's open?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Brother Mac.
Mac, what's up?
All is well. Did I hear you just refer to us as being Nicodemus?
did you just hear me refer to us as being Nicodemus? That's interesting. We only got about 40 seconds here, man.
Well, actually, that could be a
you got 10 seconds, man. So make your point right quick. Hurry up. You got about 10 seconds.
No, it took my breath away, and I was speechless. But it could be a yes or a no question, really. When you made the reference that Nicodemus was told by Yeshua that he had to be born again, and then you went on to say that we have to be born again and take back our identity.
Okay. That's fine. If you heard it like that, that's fine. See what I'm saying? But it wasn't referring us as Nicodemus. But it could be referred to us as Nicodemus. It depends on how you're looking at it. You follow what I'm saying? I was just putting the thought process out there.
Yes. Well, it struck me right upside the head, you know, like metaphorically, we are Nicodemus. And when you talk about being reborn or taking back our identity, you say, how in the world are we going to do that? And you know, you did go on to explain that our identity was taken away from us at birth, when mom didn't know that she had 30 days to declare us a live being.
Right. And Nicodemus' identity was taken to him by being conquered. So there's a difference. Well, we were conquered too. So we're Nicodemus.
I'm just saying,
I submit to Nicodemus.
We're conquered people, and we're all wards of the state. Because mom didn't know that she could have and should have declared us a live being, and now we got to figure out how to go back in the womb and be born again.
Not only that, we have to figure out how to deal with the conqueror.
Well, indeed.
So where's your military, Big Mac? But we only got a few minutes. We're out of time right now. I submit we are Nicodemus. You hit the nail right on the head. We're Nicodemus 100%. So I want to thank you very much, Mac, for calling in. Mac has a show on Saturday. Get that number right quick, Mac.
Okay, my show on Saturday is from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And the number is 319-527-3999.
Well, next Sunday I will add a commercial for you. so I won't catch you off guard like that again, okay? All right, Brother Matt. We are out of time. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank everybody that's on the line so much for calling in. I appreciate you calling in and listening to Brother Elohim. And so we will.
Thanks for the wake up.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we will chit chat some more next Sunday. Okay. Like I said, I love you. And no matter where you go, what you do, that somebody loves you. Okay. Much love.
Much love.